This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we hear from candidates in different parties seeking office in two different state house districts. Coming up, Calhoun County Commissioner Terrace Todd, who is seeking the Democratic nomination in the district that includes Battle Creek. But first,
Phil Stinchcomb is a Kalamazoo County Commissioner and is seeking the Republican nomination for State House in the 61st District that includes the city of Portage and is currently represented by Republican Margaret O'Brien, who is running for State Senate. Phil Stinchcomb, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks for having me.
Phil Stinchcomb, please begin by telling the audience some of your background and why you're running for State House.
All right. Well, my wife Pam and I moved to Portage in 1997, been living in the same city since then. We have three children, actually have a daughter here at Western Michigan, being a senior next year. Looking in my rearview mirror, it's kind of surprising. And I have two boys at Northern. Anyways, the reason why I initially got into public service was in 2008, I received a check from the Federal Treasury. That was TARP 1, and basically they were asking us to go out and to, you know, invest in the economy. Go out and buy a big screen TV. The economy looks like it's faltering. And I was kind of surprised by when I received that. You know, I was raised by my dad, my mom and my dad, who taught me, you know, put your hand to the plow, use your talents, support yourself, support your family, help your neighbor, that kind of thing. And when I received that check, it kind of was a wake-up call for me. And so every Friday night, we sit in front of, as a family, we have pizza, we watch the news. I met one time I watched the news. And I continually comment as I watch the news. So at that point, I realized, okay, I can either continue to comment about the news, or I can show my kids, okay, it's time to get off the chair and get into the ring. I had no idea even where to start. Fortunately, I had a neighbor who was on Portage City Council, Margaret O'Brien. At that point, Larry DeShazer, who was on the Portage City Council, had left and ran for the 61st. He won, so it was an open seat. That was in 2008-ish. So in 2009, they had an election for that, and so that's where I started. I didn't know where to start. I thought, okay, I'll at least run for Portage City Council. So it's a herd mentality. Anybody can run. Winner takes all. I lost that race, and shortly thereafter, I received a telephone call from Margaret, once again my neighbor, who asked me to run or consider running for the county board. I thought about it. I just got done with this race. My wife and I, you pour your heart, soul into it, you get beat, so you question, but my wife gave me the green light, and really that's where I was supposed to be in the end. So I ran, we won in 2010, and I've been a Kalamazoo County Commissioner since then.
Alex, first question for Phil Stinchcomb.
Well, Phil, it's no secret that road funding's one of the major issues on everyone's mind, and I know it's something that you're passionate about and would like to make a difference with. I've heard you speak on it before. What would you support as far as road funding, and could you possibly see the gas tax being raised to help support road funds?
Well, I'll start with the gas tax. I mean, right now we collect 19 cents per gallon on a gas tax. The problem we have is that we don't set that aside for roads, so we use a portion of it. Currently, I think we're using 89% of that goes to fix our roads. That's problem number one. Two is I do think that we have funds that are available. State legislators, we have $9 billion plus to spend in a general fund annually that's appropriated through the Appropriations Committee. I would look at using some of that money to shore up our roads. I don't think necessarily we need to raise taxes at this point. I think we need to bring back the trust of the people that, okay, we're collecting a gas tax. We're going to set that aside specifically for roads and not spend it on something else. I think we need to regain some confidence there. And also look at funds we currently have. In addition to funding the roads, we got to be able to build quality roads. The state of Michigan, we allow currently 160,000 pounds to be dragged across our roads. Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, it's all 40,000 pound loads. Well, okay, if we're going to build our roads and say that we can bring 160,000 pound loads across them, we need to build them to actually hold those loads. I think that we need to look at the whole structure of the roads themselves. Personally, I think they should be deeper. Now, that's probably going to cost more money. We're going to have to look at that down the road. But I think we need to, if we're going to allow truckers or people to haul those kind of weights, we need to build our roads accordingly. You know, I'm in the steel business. We deal with that every day. What they've done is instead of building the roads to handle those loads. Then they turn around and regulate us by saying, okay, you can take 160,000 pounds across these roads, but you're going to have to put multiple axles on those vehicles, which just increased the cost to businesses. I mean, we have to have eight axles in order to bring 80,000 pounds across Michigan loads, whereas you go down to Indiana, you got two axles, people are hauling 40,000 pounds all day.
So is it better to have the lower threshold of Indiana with a different – I mean, in the end, is that better for business? Even though they're not allowing as much weight?
No, I prefer bringing more weight. But the argument there is that I've heard is, well, if we reduce the weight that people can drag across our roads, then that's going to increase the number of trucks that are out there. I'd rather have heavier loads if we can do that. All I'm saying is I think we need to build our roads to accommodate that.
But if you're going to build them to accommodate that, as you say, that does require more money. If you don't want to raise taxes, can you give me some specifics of where you would not spend money or cut money in order to spend more on roads?
Well, currently the budget right now, there's 45% of the state budget's allocated towards health and human services, 30% for schools, and then you got the balance for everybody else. I mean, 45% for health and human services seems to be excessive. I mean, I would start there. If I can't come up with $500 million or $1 billion, if the legislator can't find that kind of money sitting around there, especially with some of the revenue, excess revenue that's coming in, you know, I think that that's a problem. I think it's there. It's just we don't have the leadership in place to be able to make the tough decision or to try to persuade the other legislators that this is the right way to go. I mean, roads are the number one government service that we all use. They're very visible. We've been talking about roads for a long time. We've been collecting a sales tax, and yet our roads still suck. I mean, why? Because we've been neglecting them? There's going to have to be a multiple-prong approach. My initial start would be look from within. And then if we can't do it, you know, we have to look at toll roading. I have no problem with that, going across 94. Take the federal dollars, tell them we're going to keep that. We're going to put it into a toll road. Something different. We have to change what we're doing. We can't continue to do it and throw Band-Aids or a couple bucks here and say that we're good, because we live in a four-season state. We need to be able to adapt.
You are open to toll roads.
I am open.
Alex?
Phil, it's unlikely that any measure to legalize or decriminalize marijuana would get on the ballot this fall. But where do you stand on the issue? Would you be in favor of all-out legalization statewide or possibly decriminalization?
Well, decriminalization I wouldn't have a problem with. I mean, it's still a federal law. I think it is. It needs to become a state issue, a state controlled. You know, we got, you know, the city of Kalamazoo has their ordinance, and we got the federal government that has their laws, and, you know, we got all these different things, and nobody knows who's on first anymore when it comes to marijuana. Personally, I don't want to legalize it because I don't think we need to have another vice for people to get on to be able to, you know, get away from the stresses of the world. On the other hand, you know, I did participate in the Western Michigan discussion here regarding medical marijuana. I think that there are some benefits in medical marijuana that we should look at, but I don't think I would not support, you know, legalizing it to be able to sit at home and
smoke it.
Yeah, exactly.
The Center for Michigan did a survey of citizens around the state, and what they found was a status quo on taxes. There was no big mandate to cut them, but also people didn't want to see them raised. Is that where you're at, or would you push for some sort of a change in taxes if you're in the state legislature?
Well, I think that we need to review what we're doing. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, is my concept of changing the taxation. I think that going forward, we have to do something differently. You know, as a county commissioner, I know that we implement property taxes. I know how the process works. I know what's going on to maintain or to produce the revenue. Do I think it's going to last? No. That's why I'm an advocate for changing property taxes. I think the state of Michigan could be the leader of the nation to be able to change it, to make it more of a, you know, a consumption type tax. You know, we tax production. That is, people actually working, doing things. We're taxing that. We probably could spread out the tax base by doing more of a consumption type tax, which I would favor more of a sales tax. I think that would be able to generate mucho more revenue for any government to be able to provide the services that we want.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Phil Stinchcomb, a candidate for the Republican nomination in the 61st State House District, also a Kalamazoo County Commissioner. Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette is here as well. Alex?
Phil, obviously we're still awaiting a final decision, but what is your stance on the state's gay marriage ban?
Well, I don't think government should be involved in this at all, personally. But I know that, you know, running for office, this is a question I'm going to have to answer. I support what the vote of the people was. I don't even remember what year where they supported marriage.
2004. 2008.
Well, or 4, was it? 2004.
Okay. You're correct. So it wasn't too long ago, but it was 10 years ago. Nonetheless, I still support that. Only because I look at myself, I'm kind of a naturalist. This is how I look at the way we live. Everything that exists on this planet's got to do three basic things. You got to get up, you got to survive, you got to protect yourself, and you got to reproduce. And, you know, number three there, you can't reproduce. To me, that's why I wouldn't support it. But it's not that I'm holding it against people. I don't think it's personally a responsibility of government to tell them what they can or can't do. I think that it should, needs to stay out of it. But since it keeps getting dragged in, that's where I would stand.
Should government just be out of marriage altogether?
Yes.
What about things like, you know, next of kin and that sort of thing? I mean, you know, when you get married, your spouse normally becomes your next of kin. How would you handle that if the government's out of marriage?
Well, I mean, we're picking basically, you know, this was established. It's really picking winners and losers is all it is. I mean, why would government say, okay, we're going to support you, man and woman, and not support somebody else because originally it was founded out? Now, I do agree with one man, one woman, and in my personal humble opinion, the best scenario is one man, one woman, one lifetime. But for government to give tax breaks or any type of benefit just because of a marriage or whatever, to me, is they don't need to be involved in that. They, you know, the proper role of government is to protect equal rights, not provide equal things. So I don't understand why we have to select them to begin with in order to establish, I don't know, some kind of morality for ourselves. Or is it just to give a benefit because, you know, we have two people working in a family and we want to give them a break?
Governor Snyder came out in favor of, or at least in favor of the legislature discussing amending the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, which is the state's non-discrimination law, to include protections for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. Would you favor that?
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if we're going to have it on the books where we have to identify everything under the sun, then so be it. My preference would be just to, we don't need it. But since government's got their hand in there and they want to make sure that everybody's following the rules, then do it.
You don't think the state needs a non-discrimination law at all? Protections for race, religious belief, that sort of thing?
My preference would be that, you know, people would honor other people and not be judgmental based on whatever they perceive them to be. They should operate out of fellow love to fellow, you know, to their fellow man personally. I understand why government's doing this because it goes back several years, you know, with racial feelings or anything else. Now it's come to gender and everything else. And I just think that it's every time we turn around, more and more is going to get added to it. My preference would be is just let people respect one another and do it your way out of love versus having government tell you that you got to operate this way.
If people don't respect each other, what's the government's responsibility?
Well, the government, that's what they're doing. I mean, government is telling people how and who they need to be able to deal with.
But you, if it was up to you, would that law still be on the books?
Probably not.
Alex?
Phil, your opponent in this coming primary, fellow County Commissioner Brant Iden, you guys came in together in 2010. You guys will be facing off against each other this August. Does it create an interesting dynamic working together now?
I don't think so. I mean, I like Brant. I don't hold any. He's not holding anything against me, and I'm not holding anything against him, you know, from what I can tell thus far. We have a good working relationship, so I think this is one of these things where we both feel compelled to go, and we're going to let the people decide who they want. And at the end of the day, if they pick Brant, that's great. I'll ride off into the sunset and do what I do normally. If they choose me, then fine. I'll go and do what they want me to do, and I'm sure Brant would support me, and I'll vice versa, I'll support him.
Phil Stinchcomb, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Phil Stinchcomb is a Kalamazoo County Commissioner. He is seeking the Republican nomination for State House in the 61st District. That includes the city of Portage. And thanks again to Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks for having me, Gordon. We'll be right back.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Terrace Todd is a Calhoun County Commissioner. He is seeking the Democratic nomination for State House in the 62nd District, which includes the city of Battle Creek. It is currently represented by Democrat Kate Siegel, who cannot run for re-election because of term limits. Terrace Todd, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We're also joined by Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thanks for having me.
Terrace Todd, why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about yourself and briefly tell us why you're running for State House.
Great. Well, again, my name is Terrace Todd, born and raised in the city of Battle Creek. So I am a native of Battle Creek, graduated from Penfield High School. I'm also a graduate of Western Michigan University. I'm proud Bronco, youngest of three boys, raised in a single parent home. I am married to my wonderful wife, Karen, and three daughters. I have been on the Calhoun County Board of Commissioners now for 10 years. I'm in my fifth term now. I have had the pleasure and honor of representing District 2 of Calhoun County, which is basically the north side and part of northwest side of Battle Creek. I've decided to run mainly because it's about timing. Kate Siegel and I, we actually served on the county board for a number of years. I think it was like 4 or 6 years that I actually served with her when I first got elected to the Board of Commissioners. But as a result, when she had gone on to represent us at the state level, now that she's term limited and that seat is open, I've had several people come to me and say, you know, they believe it's my time. So here I am.
Jennifer, first question for Terrace Todd.
Let's jump into roads, something I'm sure you've been dealing with on the county board level, and I'm sure that people have asked you while you're on the road campaigning. County boards looked at possible countywide millage. Townships are also discussing it. There's a proposal by the state. Is Lansing doing enough? If you were in Lansing, what would you do as far as road funding?
Well, first of all, if I were in Lansing as the representative of the 62nd District, it's just simply to fund the roads. And if that funding means from the top down all the way down to the townships, so be it. But you're absolutely right. The townships that I've had conversations with, in particular Bedford, these are individuals who have kind of stepped up when they realized that Lansing was not really doing a whole lot to respond to this need of repairing our roads, which is a part of our infrastructure. It also impacts business, if you will. They decided to step up and take on their own millage, if you will. And so they're going to the voters and asking them for that support. So they're saying, well, hey, you know, if no one else is going to listen to us, we need to at least fix it ourselves. And So I'm very proud of the folks at Bedford Township and even Penfield Township for the most part, because they are also entertaining this option of going to the voters, going to the residents to seek a millage locally. So again, if I was in Lansing, of course, my thing is just simply fund it.
But where should the state get the money? Should it be an increase in the gas tax, vehicle registration fees? Where should that money come from?
That money should come from all the above, if you will. If it is an increase in the gas tax, if it's an increase, maybe even entertaining the thought of having, you know, toll roads, if you will. I know that conversation is out there as well. Regardless, I mean, that should be funded. And those options should always be on the table, and we choose the best option based upon what the voters decide and that they want. So
I want to talk about the minimum wage last week. We got a raised minimum wage that'll increase along with inflation over the next few years that Governor Sanders signed into law. If you were in Lansing in that vote, how would you have voted?
I would have voted in support of any amount of raising of the minimum wage, to be honest with you. And this is something that's near and dear to me because, again, with 40% of our households being led by women, single mothers in particular, I am also a product of a single parent family by my mom raising me. I wish that it would have been at 10-10 like the federal government was proposing, but any way in the right direction is good for me. So I would have voted for any amount of increase for minimum wage because those mothers, those families need that support. They need that security for them and their families to raise their kids. So I would have voted in support of that.
Part of the reason that Republican lawmakers apparently were willing to go along with increasing the minimum wage is that business groups had concerns about the ballot proposal bringing tipped employees up. Is that a legitimate concern that that if you brought waitresses, waiters, bartenders up to that same minimum wage, that it would put a squeeze on restaurants and bars, that sort of thing?
Well, in relation to bringing them on, it is a legitimate concern. It is a legitimate concern because a lot of times they're more concerned about their bottom line. But again, any step in the right direction with raising their wage, I think it's a positive increase for me personally, because you do have situations where individuals who are in that tip situation that they don't really make enough, period. You know, it might be a bad night. I mean, you know, they might have only taken home $10 in tips. Some only make, what, like $270, $280, you know, and then the rest are tips. You know, I remember actually working at Findlay's, and our waitresses were hit with that. And so sometimes, you know, they try to squeeze water out of a rock. So any step in that right direction with raising that, it is a legitimate concern. But most important, I'm all for them being able to raise it to one that they can all live with, for the most part, to provide for their family. So,
Jennifer?
I want to jump to social issues. Same-sex marriage, do you think it should be recognized by the state?
Good question. I have always, me personally, I have always stood for equality and justice for everyone. And even the people that I've talked with in same-sex relationships or even heterosexual relationships, a lot of them, it boils down to just equality, them being treated with some equality. And so that's pretty much where I stand on the issue. And it wasn't really even about them being married. Some look at marriage as like just something that's ceremonial, just going through the formality. Some see it as a piece of paper. But there are others who also see it as a sacred entity. It's something that's set apart, you know, for religious reasons or whatever. But it boils down, for me, it boils down to everyone being treated equal, with equality. So that's really where I stand with that, to be honest with you.
So if everyone's being treated equally, does that mean that two people can get married regardless of gender?
Well, what I'm saying is, in equal, I'm talking about equal as far as like humanity, equal as far as like human rights. Because as it stands now, you know, those who are in, I guess, traditional marriages, if you will, they have certain list of benefits that those who choose to be in non-traditional relationships, they don't have. But then there's also others who are in, you know, a heterosexual relationship who also are left out the mix, too. So that's why when I'm saying that I'm standing for equality and justice for all people, I'm even talking about those who are in a male-female relationship. I mean, we all know individuals who may have been together for a number of years. They live together. They have kids together. But yet they just chose not to come under the umbrella of marriage. And unfortunately, they're unable to make any kind of medical or placement decisions on behalf of their loved one. And so I don't think that's right. I think individuals should be able to be with whoever they choose to be with. And also, if they choose that this is the person I want to make those decisions for me, then they should have that right.
The straight couple, however, does have the option of being married legally, and they don't have to go. They don't have to make it a religious thing if they don't wish to. They can go to a justice of the peace.
That's good.
As of now in Michigan, a same-sex couple does not have that option. We had a brief window where they could, but right now they don't.
That's true.
Would you say at least that should be offered to same-sex couples, the opportunity to get legally married?
Well, and then again, the voters decided that, you know, to be honest with you. And so as an elected official, I have to stand with the voice of the people. I think that the voters should decide. And if that's what they decide, right, wrong, or indifferent, you have to respect that. You know, and so as it stands now, this is the law, you know, but if that voice has since changed, then we have to be able to respect that too, you know, so, and that's pretty much where I stand with that.
State lawmakers could vote to put something on the ballot to let the voters decide again. Would you be in favor of doing that if you're in the state legislature?
Absolutely. Let the voters decide that. Technically, I'm as an elected official, you're called to represent all people. And it's unfortunate that there are few who kind of, I guess, shake the tree more so for others. You know what I mean? And so so I say let the people decide that. You know, I'm called to govern. I'm called to make for sure that there's equality. There's a balance for everyone. You know, so to get into that kind of thing, man, it's sticky for some. But I say let the voters decide that.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans, speaking with Terrace Todd, who is a candidate for the Democratic nomination for State House in the 62nd District, which includes the city of Battle Creek. Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman is here as well. Jennifer?
Let's stick to social issues. Marijuana. Medical marijuana, it's legal in Michigan, but there's, of course, been controversy over whether there should be storefronts that sell it, dispensaries, collectives, whatever the term you want to stick in there. But some states have gone even further and legalized recreational use. Where do you stand on that?
Well, again, social issues, they're social issues. As long as it's legal, I'm for that. I mean, whether you agree or disagree, the bottom line is that it's the law. It's acceptable. If you allow dispensaries or whatever, again, it's legal, you know. So as an elected official, I have to go with the legal side. And so I would be in support of the fact that as long as it's illegal, as long as it's been proven and supported by the people, then why not?
Would you go as far as supporting a ballot proposal to legalize recreational use?
I don't know if I would go that far, simply because, again, when you're talking about recreational use, then you're talking about, well, people are actually, well, then again, you know, people are actually using it recreationally anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. For me, because of my own personal values, I don't know if I will go that far. It has to be legal. It has to be for medicinal reasons and whatnot. But to okay it for recreational use, I think that's kind of stepping out there a little bit.
Political question for you. Okay. County board, you guys have really prided yourself on being able to come together, and it's been quiet. I mean, you guys deal with things quietly. It's nothing like the city commission that I'm covering.
Correct.
But that might not be the same case with this race. It's crowded. What do you think your chances are?
I think my chances are very good in this particular race. The reason why I say that is because of my experience. My experience at the county level, me being a native of Battle Creek, Calhoun County, and I guess the supporters. I mean, a lot of people are very excited for me. There are a lot of people that have come on board to really assist in this campaign. I have some very key supporters that are out there. I'm not going to name them per se, but there are some key supporters that are in the mix that I'm pretty confident that we're going to take away this thing in August and in also in November. So, but I've had it's been a blessing to me, though, to be honest with you, to be able to serve the people and, to serve my home, you know, and I think a lot of people lean more towards that because they know who I am. If they don't know me personally, they at least know the name. You know, and I think some people or a lot of people are pretty comfortable with that, you know, for the most part. So I think my chances are pretty good, to be honest with you.
Down to our last little bit of time left. Jennifer mentioned that if you are elected to the state legislature, you will be stepping into a somewhat more contentious body than the one you currently serve on. How do you go about, even as just one member, trying to break through some of the partisanship and the divides up in Lansing? What would be your strategy?
Well, to be honest with you, it's been my strategy all along and how I've lived my life, to be honest with you. I genuinely love and care about people. Many people don't know this, but I'm also a man of faith. My faith background is very near and dear to me. And so one of the things that has always bothered me for the most part is the partisan politics. It's children in the marketplace. And so my thing, to be honest with you, is to develop more of a common ground. Because to be honest with you, when you really sit back and you really look, I mean, we basically want the same thing. We want a true quality of life for us and our families. We want to be able to live in a nation where we're free to be able to express ourselves or even just to have an opportunity to live a progressive life for our children and generations to come. And so, but our methods and our strategies of getting that, you know, it may be slightly off. So, again, my goal is to find a common ground in everything that we do, you know, regardless of whatever side of the aisle you're on. And to be honest with you guys, yes, I'm on the Democratic ticket, but I also have had bipartisan support for this past 10 years. As a matter of fact, it's not only been Democrats that have encouraged me to run. There were some Republicans that encouraged me to run as well, because they said they believe that I would be everyone's representative. You know, not saying that I'm a know-it-all or whatever. They just believe that I'm humble enough to at least go and do what needs to be done and have the fight in me to go get it done. So
can you give us any names?
I won't give any names right now. You'll see them on my list. I won't put them out there like that. I'll get their permission first before I actually do that. And there are several, I'm going to tell you that, but we'll leave it at that.
Terrace Todd, thank you for your time.
No, thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Terrace Todd is a Calhoun County Commissioner. He is running for the Democratic nomination for State House in the 62nd District. That's currently represented by Democrat Kate Siegel and includes the city of Battle Creek. And thanks again to Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thank you.
Longer versions of interviews heard on West Southwest can be found at WMUK.org. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.